Good morning. Today is the first Sunday of the Advent season. It's December already. And in this season, we know that many churches around the world focus on preparing for Christmas. Some use special decorations like the Advent wreath we have this morning that Sampo and his family and Anina prepared with their family to light for us and sang for us. Thank you again for your song. Wow, that was fun. Many churches, many places, they use these kind of special decorations or traditions to help to remember about Jesus. Of course, it's not necessary to use candles or wreaths or these things, but we do want to think about the coming of Jesus and about the meaning of Christmas in this season and whatever is useful to help to remind us of that, to focus on that is good. And as we wait for Christmas Day here at OIC, each week we'll have a scripture reading and light another candle of the Advent wreath just to help us to focus on that. These things are not necessary, but they can be helpful for us because they point to the promises of God and remind us of His goodness and love. Now, the first candle on our wreath, as we saw this morning, is the candle of hope. And the scripture reading from Titus included these words, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So what are we waiting for in the Advent season? Advent means waiting. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the coming of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He is our blessed hope. A wonderful, wonderful idea. Our blessed hope. We can get a hold of that to just hang on to the blessed hope of Christ in this season. As 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." The Bible is full of wonderful promises of God. There are so many wonderful promises in the scripture for us to read, to meditate on, to hold on to. And all of these promises of God are yes in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In the promises of Jesus, the promises of God, in the coming of Jesus, the promises of God are fulfilled. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The Lord is so good to us. I just going to mention, you know, when Karen and I were in Germany here last month, we visited this famous cathedral. It's pretty amazing building. The first time that I went here, many years ago, I climbed the stairs to the top. This time we didn't do that. It's 500 and some steps to the top, and this time we didn't do it. But if you look at this church from medieval Europe, you can see it's a magnificent church. It's beautiful, majestic, we might even see. And yet at the same time, it's a little intimidating. Some might think even it's a little scary, this kind of building. You might feel a little hesitant to go up and go inside and look around. To many people, God is like this, awesome and yet a little scary and hard to approach, afraid to get close to God because He's just a little too big, too awesome in His power and glory. But you know, God did not wait for us to come to Him. He came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we prepare for Christmas this year, let's take the time to remember that in Jesus, God is coming to us. And let's reflect upon who Jesus is and on the great love He had for us to come to us, to this world, to the people of His creation, and even to give His life as a ransom for ours on that cross. Now, outside of the church, many people think that the life of Jesus began 2,000 years ago when He was born in Bethlehem. Maybe even that's what the book says if you get your junior high history book. I don't know. But we know from the Bible teaches us that Jesus was alive before the creation of the world. Before time and space began, Jesus is alive. Take a look at the words of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, the Father loved the Son. And the Holy Spirit was there too. And they all loved one another before even the world was created. We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, existing in a circle of love, we could call it. God in three persons, bound together by love. And the scripture tells us God is love. And his love is expressed in creation, especially in the creation of men and women, because he made us so he could have a relationship with us. He made us in his image, with the ability to love God and have that relationship and to love one another. Not always easy, but we have the ability to love one another and to live in peace and harmony and joy. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 speaks of a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. This is an exciting verse. It's amazing. God promised eternal life before the beginning of time. Did you ever think about that? Now, to whom did God make this promise? Before time began, there weren't any people. There weren't any angels. They weren't created yet either. There was no one except God himself. So we have to conclude that God made this promise to himself. In other words, the promise to give the gift of eternal life to people who believe was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within that Trinity, that circle of love of God. We have that promise before the beginning of time. And God does not lie. God does not break his promises. His word is certain and sure. And God's wisdom, God's power are absolute. So our salvation was accomplished in the promise of God before God created the heavens and the earth. Before the beginning of time. Our salvation was already accomplished in the promise of God. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. There it is again. The work of salvation was by Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago is when he died on the cross, and yet it was already accomplished in the promise of God. It was already done before time began. And we receive that personal salvation when we believe in Jesus and trust in his promises. But we see that God had it from the beginning. A promise of grace given to those who believe. Now, when we speak of the birth of Jesus Christ, we speak of the great miracle of the incarnation. It's kind of a big word, incarnation, but it means that God becoming man, coming into this world. When Jesus came into this world, he left the eternal throne of God, and he entered into the time and space that we know, the world we know, and he became a child, born in a manger in the town of Bethlehem as a little baby. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's about Jesus, right? Jesus is the Word of God. And then we drop down a little bit in John chapter 1 to verse 14, teaches us, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." What is that? That's the Christmas story in one line. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God came and was born in Bethlehem as a baby. He was made flesh and he dwelt among us with people. He lived, and God came to live in our world as a man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 8 and see how this passage of scripture just brings glory to Jesus as God and King. Notice what this says about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 8. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'? Or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son'? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.' And speaking of the angels, he says, 'He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire.' But about the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom.'" Amen. It's an amazing passage. I love this passage of scripture, by the way. It's just one of my favorites. You see, the Bible affirms that God speaks to us in many ways. He does. He speaks in many ways. The Old Testament prophets that we have in the Bible, they spoke boldly of the Creator God, and they gave many prophecies about the Messiah to come. Yet God also speaks through nature, like the beauty of places, like just for example, the Napali coast in Kauai, Hawaii. The beauty of places like this just reveal God's love to us. And it shows how he delights in giving us joy. So we see this, it warms our hearts with joy. God has given this to us. And the wonder of the universe astounds us when we look out through our telescopes and we see amazing things like what they call the Sombrero Galaxy that point to the wisdom and power of God. All of these things teach us about God. But the greatest revelation of God and his love is found in Jesus Christ, in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, through whom he made the universe. When we read these words, we realize that God made the universe through Jesus. Jesus is God also. And so Psalm 19, verse 1 is also speaking of Jesus when it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." The hands of Jesus, our Lord. The stars and the galaxies made by God through the Son, through Jesus. And verse 1 in Hebrews 1 declares, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." You want to know what God looks like? You're saying, oh, I want to know what God looks like. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, the exact representation of God. Colossians 2:9 agrees, saying, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The story of Christmas is the story of God coming to be with his people in the person of Jesus. You want to get a hold of that as Christmas approaches. God coming to be with his people. And we want to be his people. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul was teaching them about having an attitude of humility. That was the main point of his passage. But in doing so, Paul gave us another version of that Christmas story. Another version of Christmas here in Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He's in very nature God, and he humbled himself, and from the throne of the Father, from the place of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, he comes as a man born in Bethlehem. And as a man, he humbles himself and dies on the cross for us. God, in the person of the Son of God, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and dying on the cross so that we might have eternal life. And verse 3 says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus died, he rose again on the third day, and after 50 days, he goes back to heaven and he sits at the throne of the Father in heaven. The throne of God. Who is Jesus? He is the King of Kings. He is Messiah. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is Emmanuel. He is the Prince of Peace. The light of the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Son of God, and he became the Son of Man when he was born into this world on that first Christmas morning 2,000 years ago. But long before that, before the beginning of time, Jesus is eternal and almighty God in the Trinity together with the Father and the Spirit. Now, 2,000 years ago, after Jesus was born and he grew and he entered into his ministry, and then John the Baptist saw Jesus and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Trust in Jesus and he will take away your sins, because he gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin at the cross. As the Lamb of God, dying for us, that we might have the free gift of eternal life. Trust in Jesus and he will take away your sins and wash you clean. This Christmas season, as we prepare for Christmas, let's remember that the baby in the manger is our Lord and God, come to die on the cross and to rise again so that we might have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life made sure. I pray that all of us this season would, together with the Apostle Thomas, who was called the Doubting Thomas because he was slow to believe, but he did believe it. I pray that all of us will look to the risen Jesus and make the good of confession of faith, bowing down before our Lord and saying with Thomas, my Lord and my God.
That's Thomas's confession of faith. Jesus is Lord and God, and he is worthy of all worship. He is worthy of our worship, and he is worthy and receives the worship of the angels in heaven. Let's look again at that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. The writer declares, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Angels are powerful and amazing, but Jesus is Lord and God, and the angels worship him. The author of Hebrews is very clear in proclaiming that Jesus is God. But he's not proclaiming something new. You see, these last words there are actually a quote from Psalm 45, verse 6, written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, a prophecy about the coming Messiah. Truly, Jesus is Messiah, Savior, Lord, and God of all creation. Now, 2,000 years ago in Israel, the people were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Savior to come. And Jesus came, just as the prophecies foretold. But when Jesus came, most of the Jews did not recognize him. Why? Because he came in humility. He came in weakness as a baby born in a manger. He came as an ordinary person in appearance. And that wasn't what they expected. They had read the prophecies, but they had interpreted them in a way that they were expecting a Messiah that would come as a conquering king, you know, with a mighty sword, and he would ride in and he would drive the Romans out of their land. Because at that time they were under the impression of the Roman Empire. But God's plan was different. Instead of coming in awesome power and authority and ruling with a sword, God didn't do that. He came in humility. He came in weakness to offer his life as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. You see, God knew that what we needed most was not a mighty king with a sword. There are many rulers in the world, and that wasn't what we needed most. What we needed most was forgiveness of our sins, because our sins separate us from God and from the loving relationship with God that he longs to give us and to bless us through. And God wanted to give us what we really needed, not a ruler, but a savior. Not a king, but a servant who gives his life for us. Our sins prevent us from drawing close to God. But Jesus provides for our need. God, come in the person of Jesus, provides for forgiveness of sins. Jesus is truly our blessed hope. There is no hope of salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus, our blessed hope. And he came once 2,000 years ago to provide forgiveness of sins for us. And he will come again in power and glory at the right time to restore all things and to make the world right. There's a lot in the world that isn't right. There's a lot that goes wrong. There's a lot of suffering. that God will make it right at the proper time. This Christmas season, as we walk the streets or go to the department store or wherever we go, I think it's good for us to enjoy the beauty of the Christmas lights. I think it's good to laugh along with Santa when he laughs. But let us never forget, as we enjoy the season, that it's all about Jesus. It's all about the coming of Jesus, the one and only Savior. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Christmas is about Jesus. All the other things are just, I don't know, a little bit of sideshow and can be fun, but that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. Let's close for today with Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This morning we call him Emmanuel, God with us, our Savior Jesus. Let's turn to him in prayer. Creator God, Lord of the heavens and the earth, awesome in power and glory, and yet a God of endless love, a God who gives grace and mercy, a God who comes to be with us, the only true God, Creator, King, and Lord. Lord, I pray that this season, even this very day, that we would all say yes and amen to Jesus. That we would open up our hearts wide. That we would embrace the blessed hope and trust in Jesus. I pray that we will remember every day this season and always that Jesus is Lord. I pray that we will all turn to him and confess our sins and receive forgiveness. I ask that all of us would be given the grace to participate in the resurrection to eternal life, and also our family, friends, and loved ones, that we might be together in heaven with you forever. Pour out your grace in this place. Shower us in your love, O Lord. And not only this church, but all the churches throughout the city, bless them with the presence of Jesus. Bless this city. Bless this land. Bless all of those around the world who call upon your name. Open our hearts wide that we might always turn to you for our need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.